This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss.
I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is the Breakfast Grill. Telco charges are one of the few things in life that have become cheaper over time. So as this service becomes increasingly commoditized with shrinking margins, how has this impacted Maxis, Malaysia's leading telco, in terms of service revenue? And of course, how excited are they with the onset of 5G? Is it more hype than reality? Questions we pose to Gökhan Örgüt, CEO of Maxis. Let's start with 5G, because a lot of news flow over the last few months with the launch of the government's My Digital program. I think the model's been changed many times, but now what we do know is the government is forming a special purpose vehicle called Digital National Berhad, who will take charge of the infrastructure and spectrum. So what do you think of this model where Maxis actually just becomes a lessee of 5G?
First of all, let me start with the My Digital initiative. We are very supportive of this initiative, and we believe that this is what exactly Malaysia needs in order to utilize technology and digitalization to improve its economy and to increase the diversification of revenues over to the masses. There are still a lot of uncertainties, and the details of the plan is being shared with us as we speak. We don't have all the details yet, so it's very early days now in order to be able to make a judgment and make a assessment of the impact of this. But what I can say is, as you know, Maxis has been working on 5G for a while, since 2018, and we have done all our preparation for 5G.
But do you prefer this model, though? Because for a change, I mean, it is going to be government-driven as opposed to private sector-driven. So I suppose there's going to be less capex requirements for Maxis, since effectively you are leasing the 5G spectrum.
As I said, the details are not revealed fully yet. That's why it's really, really early to make an assessment of how it will impact the financials. So it's definitely, it all depends on when, how much, where, a lot of questions that we have, which we've started the discussion with our regulator MCMC and our ministry, and we'll be doing these discussions and getting more details in the coming days.
So it does seem that the government's target to roll out 5G by year end seems rather ambitious when you compare that to the Jendela target of end 2022 and end 20. At what point of the talks are you at, you know, with regards to this then?
We're just starting the talks. Last week, we had our discussions with our regulator, and we'll be talking to DNB. We are at the beginning.
And I just also wonder whether this model is actually, ironically removes the edge that Maxis currently enjoys, which is the network superiority. So with the SPV owning and running the infrastructure, it's going to be a shared commodity, 5G. And every telco's quality almost becomes standardized because there's equal wholesale access. So isn't that a disadvantage for Maxis and the brand that has been built over the years?
Yes, Maxis has always been known as the best mobile operator in the country. 2 years ago, we started a new program, a new vision and a program that our vision is to be the leading converged solutions company in the country. And this vision incorporates not just continuing to excel in mobile, but extending our business into fiber and enterprise. I think this puts Maxis in a unique position where our dependency on mobile has been less and less. And the main differentiation point that we would like to continue to hammer on is our converged solutions ability in the new era of 5G. So it's not just the mobile and 5G. It's also our ability to combine mobile networks with fixed and all the solutions that we're able to provide on top of connectivity, both to our individual and enterprise customers. This will be continue to be the differentiation that we have.
In terms of being able to monetize it, what plans does Maxis have? I mean, is it just going to be hype and doesn't actually really have a commercial case? Because it's great. Okay, 5G applications, supposedly 100 times, the speed is 100 times faster than 4G. But at this juncture, it seems more suited for industrial applications. So, for example, autonomous vehicles. So, what has Maxis got in mind when it comes to rolling out 5G then?
I think we need to look at the history of 4G. Before the 4G launch around the world, again, we were doing similar discussions, the advantage of 4G over 3G. I still remember today. And when we look back now, versus what we talked about, there has been many fundamental changes in the way we live and work after the 4G launch. I mean, think about some of the big enterprises around, some of the luxuries, not anymore actually these days, but some of the applications that we use today have been enabled by 4G. So my guess is 5G will follow a similar path. Yes, we are able to talk about few advantages of 5G versus 4G now: higher bandwidth capacity, higher speeds, and ability to connect more devices at the same time. We are working on few use cases based on these, but I'm hopeful that we will be pleasantly surprised with what 5G can bring. Starting with the enterprises, like you said, smart manufacturing, smart agriculture, smart campuses are going to be a reality behind 5G. And that's why the government plan includes an acceleration of 5G in order to help the economy to move forward. But on top of this, I'm hoping that there will be also many applications where our individual customers will be able to use, starting with more augmented reality, virtual reality in our lives becoming a reality, probably starting with areas like education.
The other thing is that when I look at the countries which have rolled out 5G, so we'll use Korea because they were the first in the world. Now, they have managed to achieve a 15% penetration rate, and this is according to Morgan Stanley. But the telcos there, their approach has been to subsidize the handsets and, of course, use very clever marketing. Now, we know we can't use our existing phones for this new generation of wireless. So is that going to be your model to encourage take-up in Malaysia?
You're exactly right. There are a few factors that impact the penetration and take up, starting with the rollout of the 5G network, how widely the rollout is. That will be the number one driver. Second one is definitely the availability of 5G enabled phones. As you can remember, the Korean launch has been already 2 years. And when we look at today, more and more manufacturers, OEMs, are coming out with 5G-enabled phones, the latest one being Apple. So the penetration of 5G phones and the price point, the affordability of 5G phones have been declining, which is a positive factor. So we expect an even faster penetration if we can get the network rolled out quickly.
Have you done any estimates as to what kind of penetration you can expect, let's say, by the end of 2022?
Again, looking at the history, learning from it helps. We've been looking at the 4G penetration progression in the country. And we expect 5G, given the device prices right now, we expect it to be even faster than 4G. That's what I can say.
What about the pricing that you will charge your customers? I mean, Malaysian customers are notoriously good for driving a hard bargain. And if anything, we are used to our telco charges getting cheaper and cheaper. So will Malaysian customers be prepared to pay a premium for 5G?
As you are really very aware, average usage in Malaysia is one of the highest in the region, if not the highest. For example, Maxis customers use around 20 gigabytes per month per user as of last quarter of 2020. And this really leads to an ever-decreasing cost price of gigabytes for our customers. And we expect in the 5G area this to continue. So the price actually the customer pays is a function of how much they will be using. But I can guarantee you that the price per data will continue to decrease with 5G.
Maxis has already been running trials, right, since the early 2020s with Huawei with regards to 5G. But of course, some countries like the US, of course, New Zealand, Australia, have banned and actually limited the use of Huawei technology in their 5G infrastructure. I just want to know whether Maxis has given some thought to the security concerns that exist.
Of course, you are right. We signed a provisioning of 5G services in Malaysia agreement with Huawei back in 2019 October. And when we did this, we were in close discussions with our ministry and the government. As you said, it's a U.S. decision, it's a government decision, and we will continue to follow the decision and the position of the Malaysian government. And so far, there is no concern on our side, nor the Malaysian government. So we will continue to work with vendors that are appropriate in Malaysia.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning, we are speaking to Gohan Ugut, the CEO of Maxis. When we come back, how intense is the competition? And can they achieve the service revenue target of 10 billion ringgit by 2023? BFM 89.9.
The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. In the hot seat this morning is Gokhan Ugut, the CEO of Maxis. Before the break, we were talking about 5G and is it more hype than reality? Now, I want to turn back the attention to Maxis because prior to COVID-19, there was a 2023 service revenue target of 10 billion ringgit. Now, if I look at 2020 figures, service revenue was only 7.682 billion. So this is a 30% increase from current levels. I want to know, how is Maxis going to achieve this when average revenues per user on both prepaid and postpaid have been on a declining trend?
Yes, back in 2019, we had announced a 10 billion by 2023 target. Given the developments last year because of the pandemic, we have removed our guidance to the market starting with April 2020. It is understandable that given all the uncertainties around the pandemic, its progression, and lately the uncertainties around the vaccination, we find it prudent to remove this guidance. Nevertheless, what I can tell you is the developments of pandemic, apart from how it's impacted our lives negatively, there has also been a lot of positive developments to our business. We find our vision of converged solutions provider to be accentuated, to be the right strategy given the COVID-19 and its impact on how digitalization became a reality in our lives. So we will continue to grow, not just our mobile revenues, but definitely the home and premise broadband connectivity, fiber connectivity, which has become a reality for all of us because of the pandemic, because of working from home habits. And because of the need for digitalization for SMEs and any size corporation, we are also very positive about the developments for our enterprise part of our business. So these will be the two levers that will help us to continue our journey onto the 10 billion. Not sure when we will be able to reach there, earlier or later than 2023.
What about your ambitious plans to cut costs by 1 billion by 2021? Are you on track to achieve this? Because when I look at Maxis's numbers in detail, there seems to be a lot of fat to cut. So is it a question of how inefficient Maxis is?
I can tell you that we are on track to achieve our objective of cost cuttings, not only because of the program, as we call it here in Maxis, Fuel for Growth. We've been executing quite successfully in the last 3 years, as well as the COVID actually helped us to achieve cost savings. The digitalization in terms of service, how our customers are willing to get our service online through our apps and through our website, has really been a driving force for us to decrease the cost base. We are quite positive and we will continue to save costs. It is important for us because we are investing. The reason why we want to save costs is to continue to invest. And if you look at our CapEx investment last year, it's at 1 billion 250 million level, which is around 3% higher than 2019.
But can you get closer to, let's say, Digi's EBITDA margins for the same period, for the fourth quarter? They are achieving 56.1%. I mean, what is the issue with Maxis? Is it a function of just efficiencies, economies of scale? Is it marketing costs? What's the reason for the big divergence in the numbers?
Shoning, I wouldn't call 48% a disaster.
No, it's not. But you've got a competitor with a much better number.
Yes, there are different dynamics. You need to go back to the objectives of the company. Our objective is top-line growth, to ensure top-line growth. And we have been successful so far in 2020, excluding the wholesale revenue impact. We have been growing our service revenue by 0.3%. And this requires investments in our business, both in terms of CapEx and also in terms of OpEx. That's why we are happy with the 48% margin, EBITDA margin, given that we have also been continuing to invest in areas like fiber and enterprise, where our fellow competitors, fellow operators are not as active as us. So that's the reason for a higher spending base.
So is the focus actually at the end of the day, market share then, at the expense of margins? Is that why the competitive environment in the telco space remains so tough? You know, there's so much fighting in terms of price war.
The objective is to create value. And the way we want to create value is to increase our revenue base. So I wouldn't call it purely market share gain. As you look at our numbers, not only we're keeping our mobile revenues, but adding on top of it with fiber and enterprise revenues. So you can in a way say that the gain for us, Maxis, is to gain share in new markets that we haven't been active in the past. And this is value accretive because these are new revenues and thus new margins for us in terms of absolute, but it might have lower EBITDA. But as long as the total EBITDA is value accretive, we will continue to do so.
So am I correct? The vertical that you're pushing ahead to diversify your earnings is very much in the fixed line broadband enterprise space. Because when I look at your competitors, for example, Axiata, clearly their vertical is financial services. If anything, they look like they're ready to be a digital bank. But how much growth are you expecting from this? Because if I just look at the fixed line or broadband services contribution to Maxis, it's already up 49% year on year in 2020. How much more can this segment grow? Added to the complications is that the competition is intense. You are facing TM's Unify and even Time.com in the urban areas.
It's a very good question. If you look at two markets, starting with the fiber home broadband connectivity, Malaysia is still underserved. Among the 8 million homes, we are currently at 5.6 million homes, home passes that are available. As you can see, there is still more ways to go. And out of these 5.6 million homes, home passes, around close to 3 million are only connected to fiber. So if you consider the rest of the 5 million homes to be connected, we still see this a big market where we can get our share. And we have quite experienced. We've been in the fiber, home fiber business since 2011, and we've been building a lot of capability, and we see ourselves quite a strong competitor in this market. When it comes to enterprise market, it's equally big, because here you need to think about not just connectivity services to enterprises, but all the ICT solutions that we are offering our customers now. And it is a quite sizable market where not just telcos, but a lot of the big players in terms of cloud, IoT, and other managed services businesses are.
Yeah, on the topic of broadband services, because there has been questions about the contracts that even us consumers sign, which is typically 2 years. But my question is, what happens when, let's say, the service falls below expectation or I move? Because from what I gather, the termination penalty for subscribers that's on the contract in the terms and conditions, these are for people who sign up after 23rd of November last year. The cost is actually very punitive. You would be required to pay the remaining months in your subscription. It doesn't look like it's fair to the consumer, though. Why are they paying so much to pay the full contract term when they're not using the service, as opposed to, let's say, a one-off penalty fee?
Yes, I'm aware of the discussions in few media outlets around these terms. First of all, I would like to say that there are two parts to it. One of them is it is an industry practice all around the world due to the fact that there are fixed investments that the operators are doing in order to connect a customer. And before the end of the term really puts the operators in a position where they have to still actually pay for these sunk costs. And that's one of the reasons why a contract is required. And our customers are accustomed to this from mobile also. I mean, with any investment that you require from the operator, I think it's only fair to be able to share that cost if you're not going to stay till the end of the contract. The second one is, though, with any other service that we offer our customers a choice. They don't necessarily need to choose this one. There are other solutions that we're providing. And as being the converged operator, we also offer our customers with lower contracts, a great 4G home broadband connectivity, and in some cases, even no contracts. So we will continue to offer choice to our customers and be transparent in terms of the TNCs.
So you mentioned sunk costs. Would it be just fairer to charge the consumer who terminates his contract earlier just that sunk cost, rather than you make an exceptional profit from this? Because if he terminates early, you don't actually need to provide any service at all.
Shawning, in most of the cases that, you don't want to be charged that sunk cost. The cost of connecting a home, the equipment that you need both in the house and also in the building would be quite high. So trust us, we're trying to do the right thing and we're trying to offer our customers the best solution and also give choice.
Okay, let's look at Maxis share price. You know, when it listed in November 2009, the IPO price was R4.75. So today, the share price isn't far from that. In fact, it's pretty flat. Now, to be fair, Maxis has been quite a consistent dividend payer, usually a yield of 4 to 5% per annum. And that used to be the appeal for many investors. I mean, you would have consistent cash flow, high EBITDA margins, which of course translated to good dividend payments. But is that sustainable today? Because like you say, there are going to be CapEx requirements to roll out 5G. In fact, if I look at 4G as an example, you know, service revenue, 14 to 16% was used just to roll out 4G. So can you actually keep up with the dividends?
Shawning, it's important for us, our shareholders and the dividends they have been expecting. We not only have individual, but also big institutional Malaysian institutions that are investing in us. And during our discussions with them, we often hear the need to continue a consistent dividend yield, which will be critical for our share price. We are aware of that. And the growth strategy that we have is not only to increase our top-line revenue so that we can decrease the impact of high capex that will be required in the future. What we're offering to our shareholders is not just a continued dividend commitment, but at the same time, the prospect of top-line revenue growth and thus more EBITDA in absolute, as well as increasing cash flows. So we are offering not just dividend, it wouldn't be fair, but also a prospect of revenue growth behind our diversification strategy.
So last year you paid out 17 cents for dividend. Are you going to go back to 20 cents, which was what you used to pay in 2019? Is that going to be achievable then if your focus is very much and you are clearly aware that's what shareholders want?
Dividend is decided by our board every quarter. So we don't give dividend guidance and it's very difficult to talk about the future dividends. But what I can tell you that is we will continue to observe the cash position that we have and our board will decide on each quarter on the dividend level based on the cash that we have today and also the future prospect of cash flows that we expect.
On that note, thank you for your time today. On The Breakfast Grill this morning was Gohan Uhud, the CEO of Maxis. I'm Wong Xiaoning, BFM 89.9.
The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.